Well, tonight we've got a little tag team going on here, and Brian Stone and I are going to share together, and Brian's up first, so please give a warm welcome to Brian Stone.
Thank you. You know, Rabbi, I'm surprised you mentioned that the Rolling Stones were in town, but you didn't mention that four of the Stones are here tonight.
Yes.
Marlene, Bart, and Mrs. Stone, and Brian Stone. Yeah. You know, I'm shocked that there wasn't a traffic jam out here tonight.
If word had gotten out.
So, I want you to, I've asked them to lower the lights, which they have. I want you to take notice of this. This is, I guess you could call it our logo, our branding. And do you know how we got this? Does anybody know, other than Eric? Eric, you're not allowed to answer.
Okay.
Does anybody know how we got this? So in 2011, 2012, we were moving from our facility over there on Bay Meadows, and we moved over here, and there were a group of us that were supporting Sandy in her work on bringing this facility together. And hasn't she done a magnificent job? I'm so humbly proud of what God has done here and how he's used her. The group, Sandy wanted to get a color palette so that everything would flow and just go well together. And so she showed individually to each member of the group a number of photos. Some of them were, if I remember, one was like an orchard, but there were a number of them. And everyone in the group, independently, without knowing anybody else's selection, thank you, decided that this photo was it. And I can tell you, at least for myself, and I think for others that I've talked to about this, we picked it solely based on the color scheme. Isn't it just a magnificent, I mean, look at the variations of color in there. It's just so amazing. You got blues and whites and creams and tans and browns. There's even some deep reds in there. And it was just so beautiful. And what every color, if you walk throughout this building and the building next door, every color that's in here, in this facility, is there in that picture. So, now, let me tell you, I've got a confession to make. So, about 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, I can't remember exactly when it started, but I'd come to service, and we'd be worshiping, or we'd be praying, and you notice that whenever something is, like, not the music, but something else isn't up there, this is up there. And I'd look at that, and I'd say, what does that say? I mean, it's our branding. What does it say about us as a congregation? Anybody want to take a stab? What? Well, it certainly looks like the desert, and it certainly looks like a wilderness, doesn't it? It's barren. Now, you have a bit of water down here, but it's a very barren place, and that stuck, and I kept asking myself. I'd ponder it. I'd think about it. I'd think, Lord, does that say that we're dry? Does that say that we're barren? And then the Lord answered my question. I don't know if any of you had the pleasure of being in service when Jamie had his bar mitzvah. But he spoke that day movingly, and then Rabbi David spoke after him movingly about the wilderness. And what does the wilderness mean? And I've gone back a number of times now, and I've re-listened to those podcasts. And the three things that I come away with that were broached over the two talks were, it's a place where I understand my need of God. And it's a place where I come to depend upon God. And it's a place where I'm changed. And that really went deep into me. And that led me to start thinking about the people who had wilderness experiences. There are, and I could name off the top of my head, probably right now I could name, I don't know, 10, 15, right off the top of my head, but there were four that really, really, really spoke deep to my heart. And the first one was Hagar. Hagar, who was a single mother, who was driven out from the people who she depended upon. And then I thought about Aaron. And I'm not talking about Aaron the high priest. I'm talking about Aaron, who had a little brother who he loved. And he had great hope for that little brother, because that little brother was miraculously raised up by God to be brought up in the palace of Pharaoh. And then his little brother became a murderer and ran away to the wilderness. But yet Aaron went to the wilderness. He went to the wilderness to find his little brother and bring him out. And then I think about Naomi and Ruth. How Naomi left her land and went to live in the wilderness. And certainly, Naomi and Ruth crossed the wilderness to come back to their home. Naomi was broken. She'd lost a husband, and she lost two sons. Naomi came back in bitterness, and Ruth came back in determination. And then the last one, which I think is the most intriguing, and I won't do any justice to tonight. In fact, I want to challenge Rabbi to give me a whole series of sermons on this. But the last one that I thought of was David and Saul. God's anointed, who was being persecuted by God's anointed. You know, it's one thing when the world hates you, but it's another thing when God's people hate you. So, what do these experiences mean? And what does the wilderness mean? And I can tell you right now, when you go into the wilderness with an open heart, your life changes. To Hagar, God became El Roi, the God who sees. And to Aaron, God became the restorer of lost brothers. And to Naomi, God became the giver of a son. And to Ruth, God became a kinsman redeemer. And to David, God became the shepherd who leads in paths of righteousness even through the valley of death. So, what I think our logo and our brand says is that we, Beth Israel, is a wilderness. And I say that because I really believe it's our congregational calling. I believe that it's not something to hide or be ashamed of, but it's something to rejoice in. Because the wilderness is a place where Adonai draws us. And there's evidence that he has not only drawn you or the people here in Jacksonville, but he's drawn those from around the world to hear the words that go forth from here. It is a place where we strip away the world and we focus on what truly is important. It is here, like our forebears in the wilderness, who were fed with manna, we are fed with his word. And it is here that we are challenged, and it is here that we are changed. And I have really, really wonderful news for you. The wilderness is not a lonely experience, because we are Mishpachah, and we are here together to support one another. And who are we? We are both Jews and Gentiles who are united in our love for Adonai. And it is a pattern that God has implemented from the beginning. Abraham, who is our father, his household was made up of Gentiles. And when our people came out of the land of Israel, they came out with a mixed multitude. And David's men of renown were both Jews and Gentiles. And when the covenant was renewed, it was not only renewed with our Jewish forebears, but it was also renewed with the strangers among them. This is God's pattern. This is God's pattern. So, I want to tell you tonight that I am so proud that unknowingly, we chose a brand, we chose a logo that really defines who we are. And that's all I have to say.
This makes me think of how some people think of the wilderness as really a place of abandonment and only a place of difficulty, not that place where you find the Lord, not that place where you find his community that's traveling together, and not that place where other things are stripped away so that you can focus on the Lord and keep him at the center of your vision. It's a place as well that reveals the essential inadequacy that each of us has. Not because we are just flawed people, but because we are not God Almighty. He is the only one who is all-sufficient. And we discover in one way or another just how much we need him. So it's really a beautiful time. And the desert, for people that know the desert and love the desert is a place of beauty, and the wilderness is a place of beauty. It's not the place you want to get away from, it's the place you want to go to and the place you want to experience. So, Brian, thank you for sharing this. I want to